back a lot further than what he's brought some other people. And, you know, I don't want to say that he has, but he really has. I mean, yeah, we're all lost, we're all sinners, but there's some people, they've been through a lot in their lifetime, is what I'm getting at. They face some mighty hard things, but you know what? God is faithful, church. God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand and take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 55. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the Lord. And looking forward to having our pastor and his family back on Wednesday. And be praying that the Lord will keep his hand upon them these next couple of days that they're traveling. And I don't know when he'll be back in the office, but I'd give him until Thursday. He'll be here Wednesday to preach. But don't just bombard him as soon as he gets into town. He's got to study. He's got to pray, prepare a message, and give him a little time. And I know everybody's anxious for him to be back. But pray that the Lord will just help them. You know, they're on vacation, but now they got 2 days of driving. That's just kind of like a setback. You need another vacation after that almost. But how many's ever drove for 2 days? Yeah, it's not fun. So hopefully you understand what I'm saying. Praise God. Isaiah 55. It's good to see everybody here. It is good to see Brother and Sister Huffman. And glad that they're here. Just good to see everybody. Glad for our visitors that are here with us. And I'm just thankful for what the Lord's doing. Praise God. I'm aware of the time. And if you're not, can't see very good up there, but it looks like it's very close to 7:15. So how many will give me 15 minutes? Just a couple of you? Okay, well, the 15 that I got and the 15 you gave me, that's 30 minutes. So it wasn't very many that you even gave me the 15, so I better stick with. I'm going to try. I ain't making a promise, but I'm going to try and be short. And a lot of times when a preacher says that, it don't go short. I've noticed every time Brother Kincaid mentions, you know, I ain't going to be long tonight. I've got a short message. He's right there at the usual time, if not a little bit further. So hopefully I won't go very long. But let's look at Isaiah 55, starting at verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens and earth are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord that we feel in this place. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts and lives in our church. We ask you just to let the Spirit of the Lord rest upon this service, Lord. The remaining portion, anoint me, and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Praise God. I want to preach to us just for a little bit on what is your experience? What is your experience? Or maybe it could be better said, what has been your experience? Experience can either make or break a person or a thing. I mean, you think about the experiences that people go through in different things, and not big experience, big situations, but you just take, for example, going to a business or a place to shop. When you go in there, you depending, I guess, on some people. Well, I mean, if you're going in there and you know you're going to need help with something, if you're going to the shoe department and they got all the shoes in the back, you're expecting someone to come around and ask if they could help you. And we all know how it is. You go there and there's 15 people looking at shoes, and what do they got? One or two people helping that in that department. And you've got to wait. And it ends up being a lot of times a bad experience overall. But you think about, not just in that area, you think about places that you go to eat. I've been to places that I love to eat and had bad experiences. I've gone in places, though, that I've never been before. And because of the experience that I had there, getting my food cold or them bringing me something that I didn't even order. They bring me, you know, I'm expecting to get my food and they bring me something totally different. I'm like, what? I didn't order this. So then you get to have to wait for them to go back there and cook whatever you ordered initially, and your spouse is sitting there eating their meal and your kids, and you're there waiting, you know. It don't always make for a pleasant experience. And a lot of times those experiences will ruin your taste or your desire to go back to a place. I've mentioned before I was eating at an Italian place, and they brought out my fettuccine Alfredo, and I don't know what to do. I love fettuccine Alfredo. I mean, I'll eat it at Olive Garden. I'll eat it, at some just little podunk place that, you know, you're not sure about to begin. And I love it everywhere. Well, I went to this main place, main chain of a place, and that should have been very good, and it wasn't. And I don't know if something was wrong with it. I didn't go back to find out. But I sat there and I took like two bites and that was it. I was like, I ain't eating this. My wife, I said, here, try this. Yeah, something that. She goes, that ain't that good. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to touch it. When she comes around and asks, hey, is everything okay? She'll see that I'm not eating. And hey, is something wrong? You know, I was going to be nice and, you know. They didn't bother to come by and ask how everything was. And so through it all, when it was all said and done, finally she was like, well, you know, you didn't like that? I mean, talking about when she's clearing, giving us our bill and everything's time to go. I was like, well, no, to be honest with you, I really didn't. They didn't take it off my bill, didn't do anything. I've never bothered to go back because I had such a bad experience. But just because I have a bad experience at places don't mean that I don't go back. I mean, just right after we got here, we was down here eating a Steak and Shake. And they brought me my chili, holding it from the top. And the poor guy, he slipped, or I don't know what happened, but he slipped out of his hand. Hit perfect. The only problem was, is when it hit, everything inside bounced out. Got all over a shirt and a pair of suit pants, and I had to end up getting a new one. But I had a bad experience there, and I had a bad experience getting them to fix all that on top of that. But I like their food. And I like their shakes well enough that I'll leave that, you know. That didn't ruin it totally for me, that I'll still go back. But what I'm getting is our experiences. We can have good experiences. We can have bad experiences. We can have things that will affect us. I can remember when I was a kid, and my family, a bunch of us and some friends went out to the lake. And my uncle has had a boat for years. He would go fishing. He's one of those guys that you see on a fishing show, it seems like, you know, which I know it's set up, you know, but constantly pulling fish in. I mean, that's the way he does. 15 minutes, we're moving spots because he's caught 10 fish out of the hole. But we decided somebody in the family bought a tube and decided, hey, let's go tubing. And so we all went out there and they was running around. Well, somehow, I don't know how long we'd been out there, but it was my turn to go, Brother Prysock. And we got out there and I don't know, they come up to the bank and I got in, but they dumped me out and they're by the tube and, you know, they pulled up a little bit and they're getting ready to go. And I can tell something's going on in the boat and they're looking and looking and looking. And I didn't realize what was going on until everything was taking place right in the moment of it. But there was a boat headed right for me in the tube. And the guy in the boat told my uncle, said, I don't think we're going to make it. Instead of saying, let's get this thing going, he said, I just don't think we're going to make it. I don't think we're going to make it. My uncle said, what are you talking about? He said, you know, finally got it out. And they took off. And by this time, I've realized what's going on. I roll off this tube and still holding on to the rope. But that boat comes by and hits the tube. And my uncle was not saved at the time. And he got up and let this man have it. I mean, I'm sorry. The guy's apologizing. And my uncle chewed him up one side and down the other. And went and parked the boat. And to this day, we've never been back tubing. Because of a bad experience. And that was a bad experience. It was also a dramatic experience. But because of the severity of it and because of what it did, and to this day, I've never gone back tubing. Now, I probably would. I've just never had the opportunity to. But, you know, it was a bad experience. And because of that, we've never, as a family, or my uncle has never gone and taken anybody, his kids or grandchildren, because of how bad of a situation that was that day. And you know, church, there are experiences, though, that we have in church that can either make us or it can break us. And there's experiences, though, and I'm not so much want to talk about whether it's good or bad experience, but I have three questions I want to ask us real quick, and I want us to think about as we go through this message. And number one, my first point is what has been your experience with God? What has been your experience with God? Now for some, they could say, well, I've had a great experience with God. I'm talking about us as Christians. I'm not talking about outside center folks. I'm talking about us as Christians. We could say, well, I've had great experience with God. And there's some that could say, well, I haven't had just a great road as being a Christian. So how can you say that, Brother Armstrong? Well, because you take certain people. They've had a rough life even as being a Christian. Brother and sister men aren't here, and I would say this if they were here. But I mean, you look at the life that they've had with Mariah. They're still Christians, but they've had to experience and go through things that most of us, if not all of us, has ever had to come close to even going through with our children. That's been a rough road. It hasn't been a rough road where they've, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure throughout that there's been times where it's passed through their mind, you know, is this really worth it? You know, if God's really real. I mean, I can tell you right now, let's get realistic. The devil puts those thoughts in our minds. He does try to tempt us with thoughts like that. Now, I'm not saying that they've acted upon that. I'm not saying they've never said anything like that. But I'm telling you what, there has been experiences that we've all faced and gone through. And I'm asking you, what has your experience been with God? What is yours? Basically, what I'm asking is, how have you responded to God? When God comes by, do you respond in the right way? Have you had good experience with the Lord? Let me ask you, are you holding Him responsible for something that's happened in your life, maybe? Are you as close to Him as you want to be? Are you saved? I'm reading my notes that I mistyped or something. Are you saved and that works for you? Are you saved and that's good enough for you? Are you saved and you're satisfied with being right there? Has He always been there for you? Or have you had experience where you feel like, hey, no, He hasn't always been there. No, because you realize that He's always supposed to have been there. You've always been taught that. You've always been preached that. He's always there. But deep down inside your heart, you feel like somewhere along the way, maybe He hasn't been there for you. Has He always come through for you each and every time? Has your experience been what you really thought it was going to be? Has it been all that you as anticipating that it would be? Even after, and I'm not talking about just when you got started out living for the Lord. I'm talking about this past week. Has it been everything that you thought salvation and living for the Lord, God meet and come by, has it been everything you wanted it to be? I'm talking about, what has your experience been with God? I trust and I hope it's been the greatest experience of your life. I hope because of your surrendering your heart to the Lord, letting God work and move in every area of your life, and you have not been rebellious, that you can say, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I mean, that's what it ought to be. But let's think about it from another perspective. What has been God's experience with you? What has been God's experience with you? Now, if we was to back up and we was to take time tonight and ask each and every one of us, what has your experience with been with God? Each of us could tell of mighty things, awesome things that's taken place. I mean, you know, from our loved ones getting saved after years of not coming to church with us. Our children getting saved, Brother Price. I mean, things that we prayed for, just as we was talking about, for years upon years, and they just now are coming about. I mean, there's things that we could each and every one of us testify about, how God's healed us, how God's delivered us, how God's done this for us. Talking about your experience with God, but what if we was to hear what God had to say about God's experience with us? You see, I would be scared to hear what God might would have to say about our experience, or His experience with us. See, the Bible says, draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you. So it takes two people. It takes you and it takes the Lord. And I dare say that there's been times where we haven't done our part. I dare say that God would probably get up and say, you know, there's been times where I come by and I moved. And they responded beautifully. I'm sure that He will, at the same time, would get up and would probably say, Brother Loomis, that, you know, I desired to move, but they weren't willing to move. I desired to pour my Spirit out upon them, but they weren't desiring my Spirit to be poured out. I desired to come by and move in a mighty, mighty way in their heart and life, but I couldn't do it. You know the song that the Crab family sings, "He ain't done me nothing but good." That's absolutely true. He ain't done me nothing but good. But for some reason, I dare say God's response about us and how He's tried to move upon our heart and life wouldn't all be what we would want it to be. Would He say that, you know, "I tried to come by and get them to witness for me, but I couldn't get them to do it"? Might He say that, something about how we worship? Might He say something about our faithfulness to what we know to be true? Would He say something about our faithfulness when no one is looking around? What would He have to say about these things? It could either be good or it could be bad. But what would He have to say? Might He tell that as of last Sunday night when the Spirit of God fell in this place so wonderfully and so mighty that I come by and I begin to speak to your heart and I begin to speak to your life, but yet you was nowhere to be found? Oh yes, we were here. We were right here in the sanctuary. We were right here in the presence of God. But yet, at the same time, as He come by and pricked our hearts and began to speak to our hearts and tried to move us, tried to get us to realize, as I mentioned last Sunday night, that the woman had to press through the crowd with the issue of blood. She had to press her way. She just didn't pray, "Oh God, I need a healing, and Jesus, come on over here to where I'm at." No, she made her way where He was at. She made her way, not inside, but to the street, or wherever it was that He was passing by. She pressed her way into that crowd and made her way through that crowd. All she needed was just a little ways away. But she still had to make her way to it. Would He say that, you know, "I've dealt with some and they've thrown in the towel. I've tried to speak to their hearts. I tried to get them to press in there a little further, not to give up, but yet they did anyways." Talking about what is our experience. Talking about what has God's experience been with you. What kind of a response has He got from us? It's something to think about. It's something to think and realize that, you know what, maybe I haven't given God everything that I thought I have. Thirdly, what should be our experience between us and the Lord? What should be our experience between us and the Lord? In our text in Isaiah 55:6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." I'm hurrying through this, so just bear with me. But it says, there, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." You want to know what kind of a relationship, what kind of experience? It's whenever God speaks to you, or whenever you call out upon God, and God comes by, and He moves on our behalf, and with the Spirit of God's moving in the service, we ought to be responding. We ought to be moving. We ought to be standing up, as I mentioned Wednesday night. That, you know, we ought to have a testimony. We ought to have something to rejoice and praise God about. I'm not talking about just get up and say, "Well, you know, just, you know, have nothing really." I'm talking about God comes by and does something. Let's rejoice. Let's give Him the glory and the honor. But church, what our experience should be between us and the Lord is this right here. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." You know, I mean, I can feel the presence of the Lord here tonight. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But do you realize there was something different last Sunday night and amongst the service? I mean, His presence was here so strong and so mighty. I mean, if you needed healing or deliverance, I mean, all you had to do was come up to the altar and just simply press in just a little bit. And you would have got help from the Lord. Now, some of you folks have been saved a lot longer than I have and know that there's times where you get into a service and, you know, I mean, it don't take much praying at all and God comes by and moves. And there's other times where you come down and you beat your head against this altar and you think, "Where is God at?" You ever been there? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Last Sunday night was one of those times where you didn't have to beat your head. I mean, it was there. But you know, you never know what God's wanting to do. Through that song service, Did anybody think that it was going to be a service like what it was? No. It was going just like, well, is this going to be in, you know, another service? That isn't Brother Prysock's fault. He prayed and was led by the Spirit. Wasn't his wife's fault playing the piano or anybody else of the musicians. But somebody was a key in that service. Somebody responded to the Lord. Somebody got up and had a testimony, Brother Parsons, that's never hard to hear. But he responded and was led by the Spirit of the Lord. And you know what? God fell in this place. And you know what? He desires to continue to do that again. Why does he want to do that though? So that he'll be near us and we can realize that he is near us and that we will call upon him while he was near. See, the verse is saying, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There is a time, church, that we can call upon the Lord. There is a time frame whenever he's there, and there's a time that we can call upon him and turn to him. And it's just like for somebody to get saved. I mean, they can't just get saved any old time they want. They can get saved when the Spirit of God draws them. Well, I believe the Lord comes by and moves at certain times, and the water is troubled, and we got to get out and get down into the water when he's near. But it's not, just as our text mentioned, it's not our ways, but it's his ways. It's not our timing, but it's his timing. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. And church, he's here. We found him. And a lot of times people stop short right there because, well, they found the Lord. We're here. I can feel his presence. I know he's here. But praise God, they don't call upon him, though, and turn to him while he's near. Sometimes we sit in our pew, or sometimes we even come down to the altar and we pray, but we're not really calling out upon the Lord like what this verse is talking about. Call out upon him while he is near. Seek him while he may be found. Let me ask you something. When do you think enough is enough with God? When is enough enough with God? I mean, in a service like we had last Sunday night, when's enough? When's coming down to the altar and seeking the Lord's enough? When, I mean, maybe you didn't come down. Maybe you was in your seat and you had your hand raised and maybe you're standing or whatever the case was, but you was entering in and not just watching, being a spectator, but you was seeking the Lord. But when do we realize when enough is enough? I don't believe there ever is a time that enough is enough. I know we get fueled up, you know, and, you know, we feel like we can't take anymore, and you know. But if honestly, if we was to press in a little more, well, they might have to haul us away and put us to bed because we get lost in the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's things that I've seen. I've never been lost and drunk in the Holy Ghost. So I've been slain out before where I don't know how long I laid there, but when I got done, buddy, God had worked me over, and I had to go set some things in order, set some things straight. I didn't get up, praise God, rejoicing, not ready to run around the church. No, I got up, and buddy, I had to make some phone calls, and I had to do some things because God had worked me over. So sometimes it isn't always, as well we would say, a good thing or a good feeling, but God comes by and gives us what's best and what we have need of. Talking about your experience. Sister Prysock, if you'll come back. Some do not see the need to come up for a refilling of the Holy Ghost due to the fact that they still speak in tongues. Now, I want you to hear me and follow me. I'm going to say this again. Some do not see the need to come up for a refilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost due to the fact that they still speak in tongues. But what you got to realize is that's not all there is to being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's just speaking in other tongues. Speaking in tongues is just a part of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Just a part of it. And there's people that they've got this prayer language. They've got this language that they've had or created or formed, and it sounds like everybody else's, and they run with it. But that don't mean that we're filled with the Holy Ghost. If we're not seeing the effects and we're not seeing the other things that follow that, then chances are we just have another language. But if someone really is filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm not saying that people's faking it around here. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just wanting you to Think about this. But there's times where the preacher will call and say, hey, if you need a refilling, and, you know, there's some people that never go down for refilling because they got filled one time with the Holy Ghost and they've been speaking in tongues ever since. I'm not saying that you're speaking in tongues isn't really the Holy Ghost. But this is what I want you to think about. And I felt like the Lord showed me this. Have you ever had times where you've tried to start your lawnmower or your truck or car, and you got it going and it just sputtered around and didn't run very good, and you knew something was up, thinking maybe what needs a tune-up or something like that? Most of you ladies probably don't understand what I'm talking about. Sister Bauer kind of, you know, like, eh, I don't know about that. But you've heard your husband or your spouse, your children or, you know, somebody, you've heard people talk about that. If you let a lawnmower set over summer, sometimes it won't start. If you let a car set very long, it won't start. Or if it does, it runs very sluggish. It isn't because it don't have fuel in it. It may have a full tank of gas. But the problem is it's gotten old. It's gotten old. The fuel has gotten old and it's not as strong and as vibrant as it once was. And it causes the engine to run rough, not smooth. And church, there's some of us that, oh, how God would love to come by and give us a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost again. He would love to give us a fresh experience once again. But we're stuck on, well, I speak in tongues. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. But what I'm getting you to want you to see is sometimes you have to take that car and go to the station and add some more good fuel. I didn't use the words that it was bad fuel because the Holy Ghost doesn't go bad. But there comes times where we have to fill it up again. Get some fresh oil. And church, God is trying to do that in some hearts and lives. He's trying to come by and give us not just the Holy Ghost, but a fresh experience in Him. But sometimes we haven't responded right. Our response, we're holding something because of what something's happened in our past. Our experience has been tampered because of something in the past. When all the while God's still knocking at our heart's door, God's still trying to pull us and draw us closer to Him, we're hanging on to something though. And tonight He wants to speak to our hearts. And I hope that as we gather in these altars that you'll let the Spirit of God, you'll let Him come by and speak to you and let you know about what's holding you back. If there's something holding you back. But you'll let Him give you a fresh experience, a fresh touch of the Lord. That lawnmower, that car, sometimes you have to empty it all that fuel out and put total fresh. But there's times where, and there's times sometimes where we need to do that. Come around and pour everything out to the Lord. I mean, pour it all out. Boo-hoo, cry, shed tears, do it all. But as we do that, He'll come back and fill us up to overflowing. I want us to stand. I want to ask you this here. To drive it home, I want to ask you, talking about our experience, what events or things has caused God to choose you for His glory? What event or what things has caused God to choose you for His glory? Are you being used for the glory of God? I mean, God desires to look down, and I believe there's events that take place in our lives. There's things that happen in our lives that God looks down and He says, you know what? I believe I could use them. I mean, God's watching us. He's seeing how faithful we are. He's seeing how dedicated we are. He's seeing what events and things take place in our life. And He's seeing whether or not we might be used for His glory. Or should we ask what events or things has caused God not to choose you for His glory? The events or things has taken place that shows God. There's things that have taken place that shows God whether He can choose to use us for His glory or not to use us for His glory. He desires to use us all for His glory and for His honor. But it depends on our experience. It depends on our experience. How many remember the game show Let's Make a Deal? I don't remember who it was a few weeks services ago. Somebody mentioned, you know, tried to make deals with God, and they know you're not supposed to. A sister to me, she was talking about with Mariah, and she said, I've even tried to make deals with God. She says, I know you're not supposed to do it, and you can't do that. But you know what? He's made some deals with us. Talking about your experience, I want to read something here. Turn to the wrong thing. Let me find it. Marked the wrong scripture, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not finding it, but it says this here. Here it is. Isaiah 61. It says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of prison doors to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God, and to comfort all that mourn. Now listen to this, church. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them, listen, beauty for ashes. If you'll exchange your ashes, He's got beauty for you. He says that He'll give you oil, the oil of joy for your mourning. And He said He'll give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I want to ask you one more time, what has been your experience? And I want to ask you tonight, what has your experience been? Because we can gather in these altars and we can make an exchange. We can, these set forth something for us, a deal. If we'll exchange the ashes, we can have beauty. That we can have that oil of joy if we'll give up that mourning. And He'll give us a garment of praise if we'll give up that spirit of heaviness. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we have had an experience with You. Lord, I preach what You've laid upon my heart, God, and I believe, Lord, that there's lives here, Lord, that need a fresh, up-to-date experience. Lord, You're pouring Your Spirit out upon us fresh and anew. Lord, You're desiring to move in our hearts. God, we have revival coming on the scene just in a little while. But God, I believe You're trying to send revival to us right here and right now, Lord. God, You've been doing great things in our services over the past few weeks and months, God. And we give You praise and glory for it. But tonight, Lord, we need a fresh experience. God, there's some that, Lord, it's been too long since they've had a real up-to-date experience, Lord. God, and tonight, You're desiring to move in their life. You're desiring to move on their behalf, oh God. Lord, there's some that are discouraged. There's some that are sick in body. There's some, Lord, they're just at the point, Lord, they don't know what they're going to do. But Lord, we're here to lay it at Your feet tonight, God, and turn it to You. We thank You, Jesus, and we praise You. In Your name we pray. Amen and amen. Whatever you need, He has it for you right here at this altar. If you're newly saved and God's just gloriously saved you and transformed your life, you need to be seeking after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to be empowered with that power from on high. If you're here and you're discouraged, the devil's been sifting you, as Pastor preached a couple weeks ago, tonight God wants to help you through that. If you're here and need healing, I'm telling you, God is here. But church, we have to come and experience what He has for us. We have to experience it for ourselves. Let's come and pray. Hallelujah.